Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
We need to find out if Mike got officially rejected here or not, or if Mike does not have the resources to get to a certain level of significant other. That's
not
what
yet.
We're talking.
I don't have the resources yet.
What do I mean by that? We'll explain the story. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Katt. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm. Got a packed program today. Chris Swagger, the Kaiser University Athletic Director, will join us in about 20 minutes. All right, so we just had an in-depth discussion in the office. You know, Mike and I were doing pre-show, and somebody we works with, she is single, late 20s, looking to, you know, she's looking for a boyfriend, right? She's playing the game.
Right, as we all are.
She tells us that she's going to Nashville this weekend. Oh, great. Where you go? You're going to Nashville. All right, what's the occasion? I immediately thought, you know, maybe bachelorette, you know, somebody's birthday. You never know. She goes, no event. We're just going to go. I'm like, all right, who are you going with? And she's going with a girl that she met one time last week. All right. Just one? Just her? And you just met her once and you're going to go on a vacation with her? She's like, all right, I can live with that. What else you guys doing? We're staying with at an Airbnb.
Oh, with who?
With who? These two guys from New York. Who are the guys? I don't know. What? What do you mean you don't know? I've only seen a picture of one of them. Who are these people? Well, they're paying for it. It's fine. still seeing some red flags here. And to bring it full circle, so what's happening? She's going this weekend to Nashville, staying in this Airbnb. Her, one of her, I'm going to say acquaintance at the very top. And these two strangers, two guys, you know, I'm sure single guys from New York going down to Nashville. So Mike and I are trying to dissect this a little bit. What the hell is going on?
I think the whole girlfriend part of it's fine. You know, girls tend
She's
to hit
this
things.
Girl. She's met
but
this
here's
girl
the thing.
Week.
I'll defend her on this. Girls tend to hit things off quick. Fine. I'm more worried about, you know, guys from upstate New York working insurance.
You know what I'm saying?
Working insurance near, you
they
know,
probably
Maine.
Work in New York City, Mike.
You know what I mean? But all right, well, working insurance or right. on Wall Street. All right. What are these guys doing?
So you hear that? I immediately, all right, this is crazy. This is crazy. You can't go on vacation with somebody that, first of all, you just met, and second of all, with these two stranger dudes. I mean, have we seen anything recently? Like, come on.
Right.
And so then we chime in. All right, who's the girl? And we don't know the girl. She's friends with this girl. Nobody else knows her. But it was one of those girls that, let's just put it this way, Mike took somewhat of an interest in.
I did, yeah.
And so the girl we worked with, it's HR Anna. We're just going to get this
yeah,
out of the
way. HR Anna. She's great. Great friend of ours.
She posted a picture with this girl, and Mike was like, hey, your friend. I
thought she was cute. I'll chime in.
Hey, can you, you know, like, throw my name out there? Tell her, like, if she's interested, if single, who knows? No problem with that. There's no problem. You're playing the game.
Yep.
This was about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Anna comes back. She allegedly throws Mike's name into the hat and comes back to Mike with, nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But come to find out, as we dig deeper in the story, she actually responded to me. Now, Colin,
she responded to you.
No, she responded to Anna about me. So we'll get to that in a second.
You tried to DM the girl.
I did. So, you know, I even asked around the office. I asked Anna. I asked a bunch of girls that we work with. I'm like, hey, you know, I think she's pretty good looking. How do you think this is the best way to go about this? And they're like, yeah, DM will be fine. It's like, what? I'm not going to creepily ask
shoot
Anna for her number. So I'm like, you know, I've done the whole the DM
shoot
game.
Shoot. And, just
know,
take a jumper.
Guys, folks, I'm 30 years old. You know, I'm a single 30-year-old. You know, I know how the game goes. So I go to DM her, and she only allows people to DM her that follow her. So, like, I followed her earlier in that day. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to sit down and cook. It's been almost 2 weeks. She has not followed me back. So, like, you know, I could take a hint. You know, I could take a hint. It's not going to happen, whatever. But, Colin, we learned more about the situation today.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's this, and one of the reasons that Mike was shut down. It was not nothing about Mike.
Right.
And, you want to be rude. You don't want to say anything. Maybe she's not interested. Who knows? But our excuse that we were given by Anna was, hey, my friend who I just met, this is not a friend. All right. This is a person that you have her phone number. And she goes, she's not interested because she is, post relationship, doesn't want to have another exchange.
She's in her I hate men phase, and I don't know what the hell that means.
Quote unquote. Okay. I mean, she's done. I mean, she's out of the game.
Right.
I mean, she's done.
Did call me cute. We'll take that to the bank.
All right. She said, I'm in that I hate men phase. All right. This is the girl that is going on this vacation. There's two girls. And she goes, I hate men phase. I'm not interested in Rizzo reaching out to me. Fine. All right. We can live with that. That was 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely.
And then we hear 10 minutes ago that she's going on this all-inclusive retreat with these two guys who probably work in finance.
Sponsored by Goldman Sachs. And give me another thing that's in
Goldman
New York.
Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan.
There you go. There you go.
Something like that for a getaway in Nashville. I'm sitting there thinking, all right, first of all, a couple things wrong with this story. Number one, you should not be going on this vacation. That is an absurd vacation for a girl in her 20s to go with somebody she just met and meet two strangers in a random city.
That
I would never do.
The two strangers listen, girls hit things off quickly. I understand that. They become friends very quick. But I have more of an issue about the two stranger men. I'm actually worried for HR Anna. I'm worried for HR Anna.
She'll be fine.
I told her, I said, call me if anything happens.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Four states away.
I'll figure something out. Mullally lives in Nashville. Matt Miller lives in Nashville. I'll figure something out.
Mullally. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
My boy Mullally and Miller, my two Irish comrades, baby.
All right. We'll try to find Mullally and Miller. All right, give her their number and stop being a middleman.
You never know. But what? I'm worried. Like, someone's got to explain to me, if you're in your I hate men phase, but like you're going on vacation to say I 100% did. And that's why I told you, I'll take the cute part. Like, fine, perfect. At least she called me cute. I can live with that. Moving on, buddy.
Here's the thing. She's in her I hate men phase, but she's going on this retreat to Nashville.
Yeah.
I would never go on a vacation like this.
No.
This is absurd.
No. I wouldn't either.
You would never pay for an all expense inclusive retreat for two strangers?
I'm not at the point in my life where I can do that. To
okay.
be fair.
Okay.
To be fair, I'm not at the point in my life where I could just get up and buy a $5,000 Airbnb and say, hey, come on, girls, let's go. You know, we could go stay at my Uncle Johnny's in the Hollywood Hills. We could do that.
You're going to invite people to stay with you and your Uncle Johnny.
Dude, I've done it before. Fun. A lot of fun. Okay. Uncle Johnny's the best.
You should shoot this girl and ask.
I can't contact her. I don't have her number.
Here's another part of the story.
DM her
so why
because
can't
she
DM
didn't
her?
Because she didn't follow me. And allegedly, she said that I was cute, but she's in her I hate men phase. So hey, like,
she didn't
I'm
even
just,
follow you back.
Brother,
this is where I blame HR Anna, because HR Anna clearly did not put enough of a good word for Mike Rizzo and one of her friends.
I just think she didn't. I think she saw the picture and she wasn't interested and she was trying
she
to
just
be nice.
She didn't even let you take a jumper.
But she was just.
I mean, at least get the guy an open three-pointer on the
fair,
wing. It can be contested. No problem.
Yeah, just give me an opportunity, man. Just give me that one chance.
Just give him a chance to say something. I was known.
Colin, I was known. I could hit deep.
You were known as what?
I could hit deep jumpers on the court, all right? Just give me the ball. Let me shoot that 30-footer. Let me shoot that 40-footer. All right? Let me shoot that 40-foot three.
Are you talking about basketball shots?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But I'm also talking about with girls, too. Right? I mean, I could shoot a jumper. I could, I'm a very in-person dude.
Shoot a shot.
I'm an in-person guy.
Shoot
you
or shoot.
Me in person, I'm pretty sure I could,
shoot
at
or
least
shoot.
Get a second date.
Shoot or shoot.
That's where I lose the battle is the DMing and the social media and that garbage.
How hot is this girl?
She's smoking hot.
Okay. She has to for you to be stuck up on her like this. That's what I'm trying to
it's
get
not,
at.
No, no, no.
If you
to
can shoot
fair,
65% from the field, then this wouldn't matter that much.
I think Mike got burned here because she was going on vacation.
I'm not stuck up on it. We just heard about it now. Like, Christian, I accepted it as, okay, she's not into me, whatever, we're done. And then today, as I'm eating my lunch at 3:10, I find out that HR Anna and her are going on vacation to stay with said dudes after she told us she was in her I hate men phase. So that's why, that's the confusion.
Are you taking a little offense to this?
I'm a little jealous.
Jealous of who?
Goldman Sachs and
Suits.
Oh, yeah, and Bozo Suit.
Mad Men.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous of Goldman Sachs and Bozo Suit. Fair play to them. They got $5,000 they can throw around and do an all-inclusive vacation.
John Hamm's got your girl.
I'm more disappointed in Anna not even giving you an opportunity. Didn't even unlock the keys of the gym to let him shoot a shot. Yeah, come on.
No follow back.
No follow back.
Yeah, that's the least you could do. Let Mike shoot a jumper. Let him shoot. I mean, she could politely. Yeah. What would you say?
You know, I would just say, hey, I think you're pretty cute. I saw you on Anna's story.
Yeah, shoot his normal shot.
Do you want to get a cup of coffee? That's it. That's simple. Hey, sorry, not India, whatever. Perfect, fine. I hope you do great.
She kept the keys to the gym locked. That was the part I had a problem with. Now they're going on a vacation with two strangers, and which is also dangerous to begin with. I don't know. I think, Mike, you got blown off here. It's all right.
We'll live and learn.
Save up for the next Airbnb that you can cover, and then find two strangers on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
Seaside Heights, baby. That's a real fine one. Maybe in late November.
Not these days. Seaside Heights, New Jersey.
But, you know, like you said, Kyle, give me the opportunity to get rejected. That's it. Give me the opportunity to get rejected. But Christian, are you going to say she indirectly already rejected me? Which I'll listen to as well.
This is the new way of doing things.
Okay.
They'd rather not have the confrontation than the confrontation.
For the record, I hate it. I wish I was born in the 80s.
You say this a number of times.
I wish I was a boomer. Born in the 60s, in my 20s, in the 80s. 80s were magical.
You might have died in Vietnam, though. Like, you got to be careful.
I'll take those odds.
Be born in the 50s.
We love our troops. We love our troops, by the way, but I take my odds.
Take your odds. You're well
past Vietnam. Guerrilla warfare, buddy.
They might. Pulled out a Saigon in 75.
Well, it's Christian who's bringing it up, right? You know what I mean?
Okay, fine.
But still.
She didn't unlock the keys of the gym. That's it. She had the keys of the gym, and all she had to say was, hey, it's like, shoot a foul back. Hear what he has to say.
Right.
Nothing.
That's it. Hear him
Nothing.
Out.
It's all right. It's all right. You got to move on from here. And I'm glad you showed interest. I'm glad about that. Because all it took was, and you realize you're probably, this girl probably plays in a different ballpark than us.
Dude, I'm a great, I play. You know, on the away stadium, great. I'm a great away player.
What are you trying to say here?
Dude, I could go to different gyms and ball out. I don't have to be on home court. You know? I'm a great away player. Oscar says, what if HR Anna was saving you from a bullet? I don't think so.
Why would Anna be going with this on this vacation?
Yeah, I think this girl kicks butt. And I miss, you know, like I said, is there a little jealousy there? Maybe.
Maybe HR Anna was doing you a solid.
I don't know.
This girl might be a handful.
Mike, you need to mute, this girl and everything. Like, you cannot see pictures from this weekend.
But, like, it's, let me get this. Like, I'm not losing sleep over this point. But it's just, like, give me the opportunity to get rejected. I think that's what this comes back down to. But
and you don't go on that vacation to begin with.
The sad truth of the story is, and Christian, I think you're just trying to get to the, you're trying to get me to get to the point. She already rejected me. It's already not going to happen. I think this woman is awful.
I think that she only wants money and she wants free things. That's what you're beating around the bush about.
I think you're taking it too hard. She's friends with dudes, though. She's friends with these guys, right?
Every question I asked was Anna, given, I don't listen, know. Anna worried, doesn't know anything.
We're worried about our friend Anna because she just met said a really pretty girl and she's going to meet with these guys at Airbnb in Nashville. We're worried for Anna in that respect. The girl, she knows these guys from way back,
right? No, she does not.
What do you mean? No?
I'm assuming no. We don't even know this girl.
Christian, I need more info.
We don't even know this girl. We need more intel.
This
is ridiculous. She doesn't even know these people.
Mike, I know you're old school, the whole the guy foots the bill, this, that, and the third. But this is how that snowballs into the guy needs to financially impress the girl in order to get inside the bubble to talk to the girl, to take the shots that you're being denied because so you got the money.
So you're saying she would only talk to me if I had something to give?
Hey, Key West, next weekend. I got the Airbnb. You'll see her there.
That's not a bad shout. It's not a bad shout.
I want to give her the benefit. I don't think she's...
in Key West.
Granted, I've never had a conversation with this girl, but I don't think she's like that. I'm going to take a guess. I don't think she's lying. I'm going to give her the benefit
of
the doubt.
That's true. She's not like other girls.
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. I don't think it's all about that. I think these are two friends that she's known for a while that invited her, and she's just going there to have fun. Maybe if they were really her friends,
they'd be splitting the stay. That's what I'm saying.
I heard they were backups, too. Keep this in mind.
Wait, what?
So here's another part of the story. The two guys had this Airbnb booked, and either Anna is a replacement or they're both a replacement for people who canceled. All right? How's that? I'm pretty sure that's the next development.
God.
I don't have that for sure, but I know pretty closely that somebody involved was a replacement.
Second strings.
Be careful.
That's got to hurt.
You got to be careful. I don't think they care. It's all expensive. You don't think she'd get in Nashville.
You don't think she'd get a cup of tea or a cup of coffee with me? It'd have to be Mike, something extravagant.
I would love to see you just a shot in the gym. I just want to see.
It would
you
be.
Should find her on LinkedIn. Shoot her a message.
Do you want to know something?
Let's not do that.
You want to know
let's
something very
that.
Embarrassing?
Let's not do that.
Do you
that.
Have a LinkedIn? I don't.
You
have a LinkedIn?
I don't. I haven't opened it in
years. I think I have a LinkedIn that I made in college because it was a thing I never used.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's a bad look. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not a LinkedIn guy, I'm not sitting here
boasting about it. You know, thank God we work for a great company like Good Karma, but like, you know, wow. I don't have a LinkedIn. But anyway, okay, boys, that's...
What's your next play here?
There's no play. I can't contact her.
You put it to rest.
I can't contact
her. I think you need to shoot a jumper.
No, I already told it. Listen, the play was I told Anna, hey, maybe bring me up again. That's it. There's no play. I don't have her number. I don't have her Instagram.
You think Anna's
going
to do that?
God, no. God, no.
Anna's going
to have a great time in Nashville with Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan. Spending 10 grand at some godforsaken mechanical bull club. By the way, I am not Nashville. Mike Rizzo is opposite of Nashville. So
you hate country music.
Oh, I can't stand it. Outside of Kenny Chesney, I cannot do country music.
All right.
You play Kenny Chesney, sign me
up.
I
like Nashville. Nashville's just expensive. It's a two-day city.
Cowboy boots, hats.
You got to get out. In and out.
No, I'm good. Find me. I'd be in Nashville Saturday morning. Hey, where are the Prem games? Where do you guys watch the Premier League games? What? Premier League games? Here's a cowboy hat.
You'd get that here, too. I don't know if that's the best example.
But you get what I'm saying. I'm just a very like, sports, video games, working out, coffee. That really and work.
They have good sports in Nashville.
Sport, but you get the point. Like,
go see a Predator game?
It's just, and also, boys, another layer to this is I am probably 5 years sober.
Yeah,
and
it's
you guys,
a drinking city.
You guys have been out with me.
That's a drinking
city. But, Colin, we've been out. I have no problem being around people. The issue that I run into is, like, when people get too drunk and whatever, and, like, you're in a tough spot.
You know what
you're
I'm hearing?
You're in a tough spot.
You know what I'm hearing? We're good. This is a good riddance.
Blessing
situation.
In disguise.
I don't know.
This is a good riddance.
She's
situation.
Really cute, guys. She's really cute.
Maybe we'll send this.
Mike, send me the profile.
Very much so my type.
Maybe we'll send this.
Very much so my type. Let's just
very much so
way.
Your type?
Yes.
All right.
Dude, you live in South Florida.
You're
one,
right.
You
no, you
picture.
Are right.
You
are
you
right.
You saw one picture.
But and let me get this straight. The only reason, and it's not me hung up on it. It's just. It circled
no, but this
back
is,
around.
It does circle back it's around.
Circled,
this
it, like, this
bring
isn't
it
me bringing it up or being hung
100%,
up on it.
100%.
Okay.
100% on the same page. Sure. I just think he got burned here.
Yeah.
I think HR Anna did not throw you a pass within the gym.
Christian, I promise you she's really cute. And we'll end it at that. I'll end it at that.
Can I see?
Like, yeah, I'll see.
You
okay.
saw one picture.
We'll show you
I think
the
we're
break.
Running away with it.
That's true.
Guys.
Instagram.
How's her personality? You don't even know that part yet.
I think it's great.
He gathers
from
that she
I've
likes
seen,
country
from
music.
From what
she
I've seen,
it's great.
I think it's great.
You just don't know anything about
it. Just because you're going to Nashville doesn't mean you're blaring that godforsaken Jason Aldean song.
That's true.
On the dirt road.
It means you enjoy free trips to Nashville. That's what that means.
Just because she likes Jason Aldean's doesn't make
I'm not saying that, but no, it's a figure of speech. Like, just because she's going to Nashville doesn't mean, like, hey, if you don't like country music, you're out. Like, no, let's listen to some disco. Like, you know, come on. We had disco hour at that golf outing. Right. It was a lot of fun.
Mike, I feel for you here. I think you get burned here, but it's all right. I think we learned something and by the way, to bring it full circle, this is that's a crazy vacation to go on. Right? That's a crazy vacation.
I like to believe.
Even from the guy's perspective, I would be reluctant to go on something like that with two random strangers.
Well, think of the suit, Goldman Sachs, we know what's on their mind. I think the girl, I think she knows these guys quite well. Right. I think she knows them quite well.
All right. We got to find that up. Fascinating. 888-760-3776. Should Mike shoot another shot? Did you already shoot your shot?
There was no opportunity. Remember, I told you. About the Instagram and
I think you should still find a way to shoot a shot. We'll figure that out.
We will.
Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Cat. We'll loop in Chris Swagger, the Kaiser University athletic director.
Chris, I'm pretty sure Chris has been married for about 35 years.
We'll get Chris's thoughts.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what's going on with Kaiser Athletics. It's coming up on the other side. First, the ESPN South Florida app is available to download today on the App Store. Listen to us. Listen to Russo and Rizzo. Listen to Theoretically Speaking. Listen to our extended high school coverage from throughout Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. Inter Miami, English and Spanish, the Florida Panther games. Back for a homestand here through the weekend. You can listen to that right here on the app ESPN South Florida. Go download it today. That's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Katt, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got the Knox in the house, right? And I go by the name of Wyclef. I bought the band.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3 with Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Katt. We're streaming live from the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter/X, and the ESPN South Florida app. Let's have some fun here. Let's talk to somebody who knows about winning a little bit. Let's loop in the Kaiser University Athletic Director, Chris Swagger. Let's do a little Ask the AD.
It's time to Ask the AD. Kaiser University Athletic Director Chris Swagger joins Russo and Rizzo to talk all things college sports, the latest on Kaiser athletics, and more. Ask the AD is presented by Kaiser Seahawks Athletics. Learn more at KUSeahawks.com.
Chris Swagger in the house with us today, the Kaiser University Athletic Director. Chris, hello. How are you today? What's going on?
Doing good. Just getting ready for some winter sports to get rolling.
Oh, really? They're starting up here in the Latin next couple weeks?
We have a home exhibition for men's basketball tomorrow. We've got our blue and white wrestling inter-squad scrimmage on Friday. Then we got home football on Saturday, and then men's basketball, women's basketball, everyone gets rolling next week.
And fall sports are in full swing?
We got a couple more, I think about 2.5 weeks left in the regular season. Then we'll start doing conference tournament play, and then based off that, national championships, and go from there.
Count how many rings we're going to get?
Yeah. Well, the other day we had our ring ceremony for men's lacrosse.
Nice.
This week we'll do men's women's swimming, and then our final home game, which is senior day, we'll also be giving out championship rings for men's tennis.
Wow. More red banners?
Yeah.
That was the first title for the men's tennis.
It is. First title for men's tennis. Women's tennis won one way back in the day. So they have one under their belt, but they're due. They've been second for quite a while now, so they're ready to get over the hump, hopefully, this year.
And how about that AD of the year over here, getting them over the hump?
It's Sun Conference. You won the award for AD.
Yes.
You've won that how many times? Five times?
No, two times.
Two times. Oh, who's counting?
Yeah.
Maybe another one this year.
Maybe. You never know.
Wow. All right.
I'd rather get championships than awards. So.
Yeah, 26 and counting.
Yep.
26 and counting. Chris, you're a Seminole, and you want to talk about who's not winning any championships anytime soon. Let's first of all, same guy walked in here about 3-4 weeks ago and said the expectation is to go in and pummel Miami.
Correct.
And then now
it was. That is
now
the expectation.
We're sitting here on a 4-game losing streak, and everybody's looking at the buyout price and seeing how the heck to get Mike Norvell out of town. Give us your state of the union with what's going on in Florida State.
It's tough because a couple things. One, I understand the fans' frustration with getting rid of him, but you've got to look, unless you have the guy ready to go or you have someone on your staff who you want to give a look to, you still have to finish your season. Technically, you still can get bowl eligible. Now you got 5 games left, but there's still some positives there. Getting rid of him now, the problem is I think Manziel is tied to him. So it's not like you're going to put Manziel in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Defense has been pretty bad, so it's not like you're going to put Elliott in charge. So, I mean, to clean the house now is pretty rough.
We talked to Danny Cannell. Was Danny Cannell there when you were there?
No. Danny Cannell is older than me.
Easy.
Yeah.
Okay. So Danny Cannell, who was a great Seminole quarterback in the mid-90s. I thought you were there in the mid-90s. Maybe I'm wrong.
Late 99.
Oh, so you were there a couple years later. We talked to Danny Cannell yesterday, and we asked him about that specific gig as it is, and he goes, they don't have the money for it. That's a 50-plus, $60 million endeavor to even make a move, and whether you think they should make a move is one thing, but another thing is to completely been unable to afford it.
Well, yeah, because it's not just him. I mean, you're buying out assistant coaches,
which are millions of dollars.
So in my mind, the only probably couple routes they could go, and I'm not saying these are necessarily the best candidates, but the two right now, you got Franklin and Jimbo, only because you don't have a buyout wherever they're at. You don't have to pay the buyout, and they're getting paid by someone else to not coach. Other than that, you probably have to go after a coordinator who has a low, because, I mean, you're not only firing coaches, but you're paying a buyout to get someone else.
Right.
So you've got to come up with that money. You've got to come up with their staff. So you probably have to go a coordinator route.
It's quite literally an $100 million endeavor.
Yep.
Right? And as somebody who's an athletic director understands what it's like maneuvering coaches, Florida's now going to do the same thing. They have a much smaller buyout to front, but now it's who's next?
Right.
Who can front these types of they are basically franchises, but programs
right.
at this point. If you think they're from Norvell, the problem with them that Cannell told us, and we agree with, they haven't shown an ability to respond to adversity pretty well. You know, they didn't have any they played well. You want to talk about mid-season adversity. They never lost a game the year they went undefeated. Ever since then, every time they lose, they stack it.
Yeah, I think in both cases, Florida State, you've got to get someone from probably, I mean, really SEC, high-level ACC, Big 12. Like, you can't go for the group of five because the break the rock, row the boat, climb the hill, that doesn't work when you have the target on your back, and these are target on your back schools. That makes sense. Like, you're saying adversity. I would also say when the expectations rise, can you flip the script to have...
Can you play well in a big game?
Yeah. Not only can you play well, can that be the expectation?
But don't you just want the program to get back to competing in the ACC first before we, you know, start really competing for championships? I mean, Chris, they haven't won an ACC game in almost 2 years now.
Right. They have the talent, but I think there's a fine line between... You know, again, like they climbed fast. They had that number 8 or whatever they were up to, and it all kind of went from there. And I think we talked about last week. I mean, you start, you know, like Tommy had, like they talked about Heisman stuff, and you've got people now that are probably at different levels. Someone has to see that, expect it, and manage those expectations in the building. And that's why I think there are certain coaches that are used to it. You can't take the risk on someone learning on the job. It's not that you can't get it. The problem is neither one of those positions have 2 to 3 years for a coach to figure it out.
So
it's got to be an instant.
You want a proven guy who's done it before that could come in and truly weather the storm
We're also operating under the assumption that we're talking like this. So are you, that Norvell is not the guy. You're under that impression right now?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, you figure. But
let me ask you this. You have a trained eye for this type of thing because mm-hmm. you're an athletic director. You know what it's like to manage athletic programs. And obviously, you don't have to deal with $60 million buyouts year in and year out. But for a school that has to deal with that, I know after this year it'll be a little less. And right. maybe you wait till the offseason to figure it out. But you got to fundraise $50 million. And then the coordinators get everybody out. You're losing that roster who you spent a lot of money on to begin with. You're bringing in the new guys in terms of the new coaches. That's millions and millions of dollars to begin with. And then you're building a roster.
Right.
To you, if you were ran that Florida State athletic program, would you do it?
What would I do? Like,
would you get rid of Norvell and
right now?
That after the season.
I think if you don't have a guy on your staff you're looking at, I think you need to I think the reason to do it now doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't think you're gaining a lot financially by doing it.
What about at the end of the season?
At the end of the season, now if you go on a 3-4 game losing streak, you bought yourself some more time to try to figure out where you're getting the money. You're gathering names. You're buying yourself time. I just don't know right now if you did it immediately, it would appease the fans maybe for the short term. But then who's coaching the team on the field?
What's that
going to look like? Like I don't know what you gain from that. You know, best case scenario is you make your decision. You win 3 games. You get bowl eligible. You're by your because honestly, if you're going after let's say Hartline, the OC at Ohio State or the DC at Georgia, they're not going to be available.
Until the end of the
mid-January, maybe. So if you're doing that and you get rid of a coach now, you have this limbo of 3 to 4 months, which is just as dangerous as having someone there that maybe isn't your guy, but is managing the ship and trying.
So to that point, Danny Cannell even told us yesterday, they're buying themselves time with that AD statement that they made. They're buying themselves time
to figure some stuff out. That's exactly what Florida did.
Chris, as a diehard Florida State fan, a guy who went there, who do you want? Who do you want? Do you want one of those Ohio State coordinators?
Let's throw one out there. Would you be happy with James Franklin?
I would be happy with anyone with the right, not anyone, but someone with the right contract. In other words, if you get I think that's where they got stuck.
The AD and Chris.
Norvell, I don't think. The contract they gave him to me is just crazy. You know, they had the season. I think it was like 10 years at the time, which, I mean, any coach, I don't care. The way the landscape of college athletics is, stuff changes so fast.
Yes.
Right? The way just you used to recruit 6 years ago is different than the way you recruit now. So I think that long of a contract is tough. Like I said, I mean, like someone like Franklin, I would not be against that only because he does, I mean, he's got experience. He obviously can recruit. But if you're giving him a 7, 9, 10-year contract, then yeah, I think that's a problem. If it's a 3 or 4 year, then
is that where the coaches have too much leverage? Because I mean,
agents,
the problem is,
I think Sexton's the agent for a couple of these guys.
Here's the thing. If maybe Franklin's a different situation because Franklin's getting paid by somebody else and he's required in his contract to go find another job
to go coach.
But if you're trying to get a coach, let's say a group of five guy, or you're trying to get a coordinator that's in a comfortable spot making, $1.5 million, $2 million a year, is looking for that next opportunity. If you're trying to do that, or even a lesser tier power four guy, and you're thinking, all right, we got to get him over here, a 3-4 year contract is not going to cut it. They're going to have to give the $10 million annually for 7-8 years.
I don't think you have to know the quarter. I don't think you can go group of five. I think there's too much damage control you have to do between the fans, alumni, everything else that there's just so, I mean, and again, I'm not at that level, but every level you go, there's just so much more to it.
Yeah.
Right. So in one place where you may get to coach, now you have all these other responsibilities on top of rebuilding a program with high expectations. It's not like it's at a high level and you're taking over and you have time to learn. I mean, you're expected to do a lot in a short amount of time, which is a lot of visits, a lot of conversations, booster meetings, meeting with donors. So I think it's someone that has to be able to come in with a plan, but also already kind of know how to do that. That's why I think someone like Franklin, Jim, they've done it. I don't think the coordinators would be bad moves from a salary standpoint, but
Florida State, but
that would be a challenge that they're stepping into something they haven't done before. The other part of this that just sucks in general is, I mean, you're messing with someone's livelihood and family. From everything I've heard, Norvell is a great guy. He's done a lot of good things.
Well, so is Billy.
You're going to get paid $60 million to not coach. I mean, I can't.
No, I get that, but it's still, I mean, it's
hard to, I understand the sympathy side of it.
But you're still messing with someone's livelihood and family, and that's always a tough decision. So while I'm saying all this from the AD side is there are a lot of, it's like get rid of them now or later. You also have to just consider the other element of is this an ego thing? Is this, am I just reacting to the mob that's outside calling for someone's head? Or if it's a situation where it just didn't fit, but the guy's trying, he's working hard, everyone in the building is still behind him. I still think someone should get to try to finish that out a little bit, unless there's some, if there's violations, egregious thing, or the team has quit, or there's something you can't get around. But every indication I've seen is, he still has people on his side.
How desirable would this job be? Do you think coaches would bend over backwards?
I think it. Yeah, I mean, you figure what 2013 they won a national championship. They're 13-0 a couple years ago.
They spend money, an injury away
from being in the playoffs. And to your point with how weak you think the ACC is, if you're stepping in there, well, I'm just saying it is a job in a conference that has a chance to each year. You figure you got to be the top three, and you have a chance to do that.
You could turn it around quicker and worse. You could win 10 games quicker.
Location-wise, you're in the South. You're in a good spot next to Georgia, next to Alabama, recruiting-wise.
The only reason I asked about the desirability is because you're going to have a lot of teams that are looking for coaches. There are already top programs who are all looking for coaches, and you're going to be competing for the same guys. Right. So that's why, the two questions, who do you want and is it desirable? So I was interested from a Florida State perspective because you brought up Jimbo Fisher. I think that's going backwards. I do. You can't bring back Jimbo Fisher. That guy got ran out of Texas A&M. I know it's different. I know he's had success. I know he's had success at Florida State. It's different. He couldn't handle the NIL. He had more money than, basically anybody. Remember, Nick Saban was going after his neck saying about how much they're giving away in NIL, and he fumbled
it away. But again, you're dealing with a $100 million decision. So I think that's what I'm saying, a short term. If you could get someone in, even on a 5-year deal,
it would put a little water on the fire.
That rights, because you're also going to need money for NIL money. You're going to need, there's other things you have to do to be successful.
You're saying Jimbo would take a pay cut to come and be the coach and take a favorable contract?
I don't know. I'm just saying,
if a situation like
Franklin or Jimbo, you don't have a buyout right off the bat. Whatever that dollar amount is for a head coach somewhere, you're saving $10, $15, $20 million or more. You may be able to get them on a lower, you may be able to get them on a discount only because they are also getting paid by somebody else. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know these things to be true, but you know, it's not fantasy football. I mean, you have money you have to deal with. You've got decisions. I mean, there is a huge financial component, and I think fans need to understand that if they want to get rid of him now, then they may be getting a coach, to your point, it's like, why are we going backwards? It's like, well, of the available options on what we can afford to allow us to be successful, this is our best option.
How quickly. Barry Alvarez, I think, stepped in for Wisconsin before.
Yep. So after Gary Anderson.
Maybe it could be something similar to that. Go ahead.
Chris Swager, the Kaiser University Athletic Director, with us on Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. Let's switch gears. You mentioned this from an ACC perspective. It's a little different. You're not paying a buyout, or you're not. You don't want to pay a buyout. It's an easier conference to sort of get your bearings in. Florida's right across the street. Florida's in the SEC. That is why, to bring some of the arguments that we have talked about before earlier in the segment, you said that why get rid of it now and why sort of let the ship sink in the middle of the season when you could stay afloat until the end. Florida, I think, is in a different position. Florida, I think, would have their guy handshake deal done before the end of the season, before the end of the regular season, even if he's a current coach. That's how desirable is the right word, but that's what I think how they're playing it. There's a reason they probably already called Marcus Freeman. He probably hung up the phone. There's a reason they probably already called Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, and whether he's hung up the phone or not, nobody knows.
Right.
I think they're in a different position because they paid, you know, the $19 million to get rid of Napier. And now they could utilize the rest of the season, not to recruit, but so the guy behind closed doors can start to figure it out. Am I wrong there?
No, I think plus they may be in a different situation with their coordinators on their staff. Like, again, if I'm not saying they're looking at that person for the head coaching job, but if they do say, hey, we have someone on our staff that we may want to retain or that we feel confident can do this and we want to give him a look, that's a different decision. Again, I don't know the inside, but again, Malzahn is tied to
Norvell. That's a Norvell hire.
So if you get rid of one, I don't know how that's going to work, handing the reins over to Manziel.
Malzahn.
I don't think you'd want to do that.
Tony Elliott, he's been there 1 year. So, I mean, I just think it's a different situation. Now, before the season started, I mean, before anyone was fired, I always thought Franklin would be a good landing spot for Florida, just because he was at Vanderbilt. He's got experience. He can recruit well, and he needs to land at a spot where he can get that big win, right? So that's the MO, is he can't win the big game, right? So if you go a place like that, you have the resources.
Have an opportunity. Yeah,
yeah, you're gonna have plenty of games on your schedule to win. So
you're more in favor of Franklin going to Florida than something comparable.
It's not so much. I just thought that would be a good fit.
I'm surprised by that. Interesting.
Lane, I don't know, is Florida that much better than Ole Miss now?
We're on the same page. They're not on the same page.
Lane Kiffin's not going anywhere. I'll say this about Florida. I want to get Chris's opinion on this too. The one thing I think that separates Florida and Florida State, there's been more and I know the Taggart and whatever, that was a terrible look for Florida State. Fine. There have been more of those coaches at Florida than Florida State. Tager was bad, but you found some kind of consistency from Norvell for about 2.5 years, and then everything went to crap after you paid him.
He's been there for 4 or 5 years now.
But like, it's important for Florida to get this right. Chris, this is going to be their 8th head coach since Urban Meyer.
Right.
That's 8 head coaches since 2012.
And Dan Mullen wasn't doing a bad job.
Correct. They ran him out of town.
So who's like, another hot name right now at UNLV.
So I'm gonna ask you the same thing about Florida State for Florida. Is it as desirable as maybe a Gator fan thinks after they've seen 7 different guys get the axe early?
I do think that hurts their outlook on the job.
I still think it's desirable. I mean, I think if you're at that level, I mean, there's, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, great coaches have to have egos. Like, you have to believe in yourself, your system, what you're doing. And I think most coaches that are highly successful believe they can turn it around. Right. So I think it's still a desirable job because I think a lot of coaches are going to say, if I go in there, I'm going to do something different. From Florida's side, as well as Florida State's, that's why I'm saying I think they need to go after a coach with experience at a high level conference, because I don't think they can make the mistake.
I think they
have to hit, and I'm not saying it's got to be a national championship, but there has to be someone that can, even if they come in and do a good job and then move to another spot, they have to get the thing going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Just because, to your point, you know, I mean, at some, I mean, Vanderbilt this year, right? Even though the teams they've played haven't been great, The record's, I think, a little deceiving, but you
just
have
beat some, LSU. Give them a little credit,
which I think is overrated too. But that's great a whole different story.
LSU great defense here.
But my point is, you've got more of these schools popping up, so you can't.
You guys lost to Pitt. I can't listen to you. Come on, LSU smashing on Vanderbilt.
Isn't it Vanderbilt's first win against LSU? It was the first team they beat this year with a winning record.
Here's the thing, LSU
played Alabama well.
LSU top five defense.
You're being unfair.
Top five defense in the country. Poppy played them out of the game. It's Alabama.
No, Vanderbilt's schedule. I'm saying was
being unfair. Chris.
But my point is that you have more schools that are doing that, so you don't have a lot of time. You don't have 3-4 years to try to figure it out because other schools are going to start passing you by.
And it's so easy to now build in. You're not going in and recruiting for 3 years so the guy could be a junior. This is, all right, come in, build your roster.
That would be, I mean, to me, that's the advantage of the coordinators just because they're in the recruiting trails now. If you hire someone like that, they may be able to bring some people with them. They may be able to flip some people. You know, when you're getting someone, you know, like a Jimbo who's been out of it, you know, it's like, what are his recruiting ties? Who is he talking?
Jimbo.
That's a very good point.
He's going to land somewhere.
Like James Franklin is not like that, though.
But I'm saying Jimbo's going to land somewhere. Let's be honest.
He will.
Franklin is still tied in. He obviously could bring recruits in pretty quickly. I mean, that's part of it is, again, it's got to turn around fast. There's not a lot of, you know, I mean, Penn State's open. So same thing, like someone's going to go there. And it's just, it's, I think 11 head coaching jobs are now open.
Yeah.
Last year there was 4, and there's going to be more. It's crazy.
That's why,
Last question here. Which program's in a better spot, Florida or Florida State?
I would say simply because of SEC money. I think Florida probably has more luxury, like in the buy. I mean, just the money they're getting from TV contracts, you know, same with the Big Ten. You have more flexibility, I think.
Some of
the money you're getting can pay some of that buyout. So if you make a mistake, you probably have a little bit more of a landing spot and a cushion.
It's less stable. You know, they haven't had the right captain on the ship for, like you guys said, you know, upwards of 15 years.
But again, I mean, it's financial decisions that are huge. I mean, at some point it's going to catch up to you. So, I mean, I think they're
just
both.
Just because of the conference, Florida's in a better spot.
I think because of the money, as far as the ability to turn it around quicker, I think Florida State probably could, just because when you look at scheduling conference, someone could come in and probably, you know, get to 8 or 9 wins faster.
This is over the leap, though, of paying those buyouts and getting away from those contracts.
Right. But I'm just saying, I think at Florida, it's probably going to be a little bit tougher just based off of scheduling. You got to bring in the right person or else, you know, are they going to be happy with 7 wins next year? Mm-hmm. Even with a good coach. I mean, that's... Are the fans going to be patient enough for 3 years to go 7 wins, 8 wins, 10 wins?
Let me answer this. They're not, because clearly they've been through 7 head coaches in 15, 12 years. Hence, I'd rather take the Florida State job. You have more leeway to have bad years, six games, you know, 7 games, and then you hope in year 3. What do they always say? Year 3 is when you're supposed to take a coach for what he's worth.
Well, I don't think...
Because your recruits are going to start playing. And now with the portal too, Chris, you could get your style of play even quicker. But like 3 years, I think year 3 of a head coach after building a program for 2 years, I think is fair. I'd rather go to Florida State and do that because Florida, they have no patience there. Florida has that stigmatism.
We're jumping over that $60 million
Agreed. But Florida has the stigmatism of, we're Florida and we need to be great every year. You haven't been Florida in 13 years. That's why I think it's important.
And I think the expectation of Florida State is, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 wins. But I just think if you're looking at...
Seriously?
You're looking at this, yes. That's what it should
Chris,
be.
You haven't won an ACC game in 2 years. It's 11 wins a year.
Chris,
come on.
I understand that. Give the guy 31.
It's still the expectation. It doesn't matter. You don't lower expectations.
Yeah, you do. You have to.
Yes, you do.
And that's coming from me.
Yes, you do.
Even if the Buckeyes stunk up the joint, we won. If we didn't win a Big Ten game for 2 years, I'm going
you
to
ask Wisconsin what their
Do you expect to beat Michigan every year?
I mean, that's a little different.
Do you expect to beat Michigan every year?
That's a little
bad
different.
Do you expect? Yes or no?
It's a cop-out.
Is it? But you expect to beat them every year. Even though it hasn't happened, you expect to beat them.
But Chris, if Ohio State was in the situation Florida State was, I would
get riled up.
I would just be trying to compete in the conference.
Here's what I was trying to get to was I still think the expectation is 8, 9, 10 wins. I'm just saying based off the conference and the schedule, it's easier to do that quickly than it is at Florida, in my opinion. If you look at their schedule this year, I mean, realistically, going into it, 8, 9 wins, you know, off a bad year. So I just think from that standpoint, it's going to be faster to turn it around and appease the fans, in my opinion. But again, a lot of it's going to come to the resources and money. If Florida's throwing money at someone, it's going to, you know, not just I'm talking salaries with coaches, but NIL money,
SEC resources,
everything else. It's going to make a difference.
It's a more attractive ship. There's no doubt about that. Chris, what's on the docket the next couple weeks here? Are you traveling anything or what's
going on? We got homecoming. So, like I said, we have exhibition game tomorrow night, men's basketball at home at 6 o'clock. We've got our wrestling scrimmage on Friday night at home. So, you know, if you're a fan of wrestling in the area, you know, it'd be one. I think they have three home matches this year. This will be a good chance to see what they're going to look like. A lot of local talent. We have our homecoming game on Saturday. So we'll be playing Weber, giving out national championship rings at halftime. Being exciting, you know, last week, good game. This week we're expecting another big crowd, a lot of fan support in the area. So that'll be great. And then soccer and volleyball getting ready to wrap it up. We'll figure out what their standings are. So hopefully we're getting a bye in the first round, hosting a conference, you know, semis, championship, and then moving on to national. So a lot of great things going on.
That is your rundown of Kaiser University Athletics, KUCHawks.com. Appreciate it, Chris, for joining us as always. That's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Katt. That was Ask the AD with Kaiser University Athletic Director Chris Swager. We're taking a time out here at Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
If you've been in that car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they are the type that fight for you. They put their clients first, and I know with Anajar and Levine, they got my back, and they can get yours too. All it takes is one phone call. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. Take that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation. Now call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. The NBA tipped off last night. I know Mike was excited about that.
I watched a little bit of the Rocket Thunder game. Brother, I got to be honest with both you and Christian. I was sleeping by 10 o'clock last night. I was exhausted after that golf outing.
I could tell because I texted you about our youth team. I drafted our youth team last night. You didn't know any players.
But at the same time, I was a disgrace for that. Christian, I literally held my eyes and tried to peeled my eyes back to try to stay awake for some of that NBA action, but passed out. What'd you think of I think the ring ceremonies are OD in the NBA. That was a whole thing.
It was a great game. 125-124, Thunder and double OT.
And then you brought up something interesting about Jordan that I completely missed.
So the NBC,
I completely
for those
missed
who don't
this.
Know, the NBC is taking over the NBA for the first time since basically the 90s. And what they did is a big story a couple months ago was they're getting Michael Jordan, who, you know, is always around here in Palm Beach County up in Jupiter, and his boat, I believe, is docked at the marina, West Palm. He is going to be a part in some capacity as a consultant, who knows, on air for NBC's NBA coverage. They gave you a little sense of that last night. I wasn't able to catch the beginning of the game, but from what I did see, it was Mike Tirico who did the play-by-play last night of who you could hear on Sunday Night Football, who did the play-by-play of Thunder
and
Rockets.
I love Tirico.
Yeah, it feels like a big game.
Tirico.
It felt like a big game. They did a good job. But he sat down with Jordan, a la Last Dance type interview, you know, where the chairs are 11 feet awkwardly apart. And it's him asking Jordan about his love of basketball. And I guess it's a good way to get the older fan who the NBA has lost in recent years back into the NBA. But what I did notice was they were showing snippets of things that they're going to show later on in the season. Like they got this one big interview and they're going to chop it up and segment it and then show it at different points.
Christian, I was under the impression he'd be in the studio breaking down the game.
I thought he'd be sidelined with, you know, it was
what?
It was Carmelo Anthony, Vince Carter, and Tracy McGrady talking to Chet Holmgren about winning a championship. I think he chose the three wrong guys to interview Chet Holmgren about winning a title.
Hey. That's first off, that's how you know I'm getting a little up there in age. The three guys that I grew up idolizing in VC, T-Mac, and Mello.
They were talking to Chet Holmgren, showing off his championship ring. None of these guys have won a title. What are we even talking about?
That too. But Christian, I thought Jordan was going to be breaking down what happened with Kevin Durant in the first
half.
It's
going to be Last Dance.
What the hell?
Into the NBA.
And the way people like idolize Michael Jordan, as they should, are just eating it up and saying, thank you very much. We appreciate this segment
of
this
thing. From him.
People don't care that we were misled.
He was secluded, and that's part of his brand. He quit basketball, walked away, and you never hear from him. And that's part of the kind of the magic surrounding him, because it wasn't as – he's not live streaming. He's not on Instagram. He doesn't do any of that. You never see him.
Yes.
You see him at his – godforsaken fishing event with the Marlins. You know, when he's, I think he does this in Florida and in Maine. And he does that with his fishing boat. He goes to the Ryder Cup, and then that's really it. Outside of that, now he's back, and everybody wants
with
to hear
what?
From, to back hear about him. What? Hear about his love for the game.
I mean, geez, I thought he'd be talking about the games and breaking stuff down. And like the best way I could put, like a Charles Barkley, you know, inside the NBA. I thought that's the show NBC was like trying to compete against and trying to, I thought they were going to have Michael Jordan front and center with like three other dudes talking basketball.
They do not have a new analyst. They have a deity. That's what NBC hired. They hired a deity that they could channel.
Is he throwing
during
thunderbolts
halftime
down from Mount Olympus as well?
The one thing I'll say is if they ask Jordan the right questions, if eventually, you know, the funniest part is if they're still in the same suits and it's May 2nd and they're still showing this godforsaken interview. But one thing I'll say is if they apparently they're going to do a little segment on load management the next time they show it. That's an interesting thing I'd want to hear from Jordan. If they ask him about, obviously, the GOAT debate, if they ask him about the next generation of stars, if they ask him about free agency, stuff that we haven't heard from him about because he keeps quiet. He doesn't argue for himself.
And
that's the stuff you're interested in. But do one interview, drop it, let it get 55 million views on YouTube, and then move on, and then have him do studio stuff.
I think the issue why you can't do that, give Michael credit on this. He is brutally honest. And I don't think the NBA wouldn't like the answers about the new
Come on.
The NBA would not like to hear Michael Jordan call their biggest stars soft.
That's the entire NBA on TNT and inside the NBA.
I understand that, but I don't think they'd let it come from Michael. Michael's different than Chuck and some of these other guys.
There's one thing that Mike is sort of right. The thing is, it's Jordan. They're going to let it happen because Jordan is the face of the NBA. He's the face of the NBA since 1984.
Yeah.
That is those two, bar none.
No arguments.
And now, if they're going to have him up there and he's going to badmouth the NBA, they're not paying him. They're not going to tell him what to say. But what you see is what you get with Jordan. They'd be okay with that because it would draw such an intrigue into his honest, unfiltered opinions about what's going on.
Michael, if you had a toe injury, would you sit out a must-win game five on the road like some of these new stars in the league? I mean, they wouldn't like that answer. And that's what you say, they're trying to get that fan back. Yeah, they are, because the fan that grew up with 90s and early 2000s basketball has no interest in what the league has turned into. And I hate to sit here on a pedestal. I'm kind of the same way right now. I told this to my buddies last night. I'm going to do my due diligence to watch a lot more NBA this year just because I got an obligation to do it. Am I down on the product? Absolutely. But I have a team that I absolutely love in the Cavaliers, and I have a diligence to the people around here to be involved on the Heat. So I am, as much as I am out on the NBA right now, Colin, I am going to do my due diligence this year. But back to the Michael Jordan thing. I just feel like if he is completely, blatantly honest, the NBA might have an issue with how
like
much
it.
Of a public
I really
figure
do think they'd
is.
Like it because he can do anything. Do anything you want. You don't even have talk about anything. If we get you consistently, that's what they're signing up for. That's what this interview is. We just need you consistently. We just need you in front of the camera, surrounding a game that people will watch. That is all we need. And we'll pay you $55 million.
You know, Mike, I think that Michael Jordan actually taking aim at the league and criticizing the players might actually affect things. Yeah,
that
I think
would improve the league.
They hear the same old crap from Chuck and Kenny.
That's old guys yelling at the clouds.
Exactly. There's like, whatever. They can say whatever they want. They say whatever they want. If Michael says, Carl Anthony Towns, get your ass on the court, I think he would get his butt on the court.
Or he says, NBA guys complaining about back-to-backs, who cares? They're not changing anything.
These are the same players. And I know, Kyle, thank you for drafting our youth team. While that was happening, they were asking new stars in the league, like Gilgeous Alexander, Wemby, what do you remember from NBA on NBC? They don't remember. They don't remember Michael playing. Michael, to Christian's point, put it the best way, is a deity. These kids never watched Michael Jordan play. They weren't even alive in 02. Half of them weren't even alive in 02. I just don't, like, if LeBron would never do it because he takes games off and whatever, but, like, I don't think if Michael, like, criticizes them, the players would even care. I think they would just laugh. That's the kind of player, that's the kind of player it is now.
I don't think
so. They take days off.
Dude, there are more NBA fans who listen to what he says comparatively to the current star.
They just take the whole thing with me in the NBA.
It's about public image.
They make way too much money to be divas and not play hard every single game and not show up for playoff games when you're dealing with a toe injury.
The one thing I'll say is they've made efforts to fix that. They've made it so you can't get all NBA, you can't get awards if you don't play 65 games.
Kyle, these guys don't play all the games. And then when you sit out during the playoff for a toe injury or an injury you could play through, I can't do that. I can't, and maybe I need to change. Maybe I'm the fan that needs to change. It's not the NBA I grew up with. And give LeBron all the crap you want. LeBron would never sit out with a toe injury. He might sit out in game 35 of 82, you know, 80. He would never sit out during a playoff game. I can't do that. I can't do that anymore. The softness that has come over this league.
You know, it's funny. He's specifically remarking Darius Garland sitting out of the Cleveland Cavalier playoff.
Him, DeAndre Hunter, Kawhi Leonard does this. But you get, but it's just like that's why I didn't bring it up. You brought it up, but at the same time,
toe injury. I wonder who he's talking about.
My team is not the only one that suffers from this garbage. They're not.
Well, yeah, the whole league suffers from the garbage because this is a nationally telecasted game. A lot of these, and you just don't have them in prime time for a national audience. It's garbage.
The one thing I'll say is the NBA had a good night last night. The Warrior game wasn't great. That Thunder-Rocket game was great. Too many timeouts. The fouls wasn't in the way. It was a great game.
Let's start doing that. Hey, every time these guys play well, yeah! Maybe you'll get them on the court more.
Good game. And you know what? The event, the one thing about NBC is they're good at making an event feel like an event. And that felt like...
Dude, it was sick. If I'm being honest,
it was sick. They ran circles around what TNT would do.
It was,
now ESPN is going to need to up their game.
The last... And to answer the question that they asked the young players in the league, the one moment I remember... Two moments, actually, that I remember from NBA and NBC. The first sports memory, boys, that I have is sharing a bedroom with my brother when I was about 4.5 years old watching Michael's game 7 against Utah. And then the next
game six.
Sorry. And then the next game was the Shaq dunk that Kobe lobbed up to him against Portland Trail Blazers. I remember watching that live on NBC on NBA.
And those games would start with whoever was doing the game, Costas, and they would do a full monologue. They'd set the scene.
Yep.
They'd show the player introductions.
It was done the right way.
It was done
the right way is the best way you could put it.
Had a good day yesterday.
You got to
give him credit. NBA had a good day yesterday.
And honest to God, unless you're inside the NBA, I don't need to hear from 8 people before a broadcast. I don't.
888-760-3776. Michael Jordan's debut as an NBC consultant, if you want to put it that way. One interview that they're going to sporadically release throughout the season, whatever it might be. We're going to hear from Michael Jordan a little bit of here and there. But we go to New Jersey. Cologne in New Jersey joins Russo and Rizzo. Cologne, what's up? What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. You know, on the... I'm happy that the NBA is back in NBC. You know, they did the best back in the 90s. You know, I'm happy Michael Jordan is also part of the broadcast. You know, but Michael Jordan criticized back in the day Charles Barkley for not working hard enough. You know, and one thing that Michael Jordan was never good at was he didn't like praising other players. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, when he does talk to other players or maybe break down a player or something, if he praises other players for how good they are. Because that was one thing Michael Jordan was never, I don't think, wanted to do or was good at, is praising how good somebody else was.
Appreciate the call, Cologne. I think that's a great point. The thing about Jordan, he was never the type to praise his
adversaries,
never did. And whether he considers guys like today, adversaries, the only one he'd really care about is LeBron. But still... Can he celebrate somebody? You know, that's what the NBA studio guys are supposed to do. They're supposed to celebrate the game at the end of the day. 888-760-3776. Mike goes to Men's Only Medical to keep his blood work in check, I'm sure.
Folks, mensonlymedical.com. That is mensonlymedical.com. Com if you're dealing with something. And you want to know the great part about Doc Al over at Mentally Medical on North Dixie Highway? It's the concierge healthcare, which means if I need to make an appointment, I personally reach out to Doc Al in his cell. Not some godforsaken assistant, not some 1-800 number. I'm talking to the source, my doctor, who needs to treat whatever I got going on. With that said, he offers a plethora of services as well. I mean, weight management, nutrition, that's really what I'm doing. You know, maybe I could get that call back from that girl once I'm, you know, chiseled like a Greek god, Kyle, with Mentally Medical. You could also, folks, hair loss solutions, skin assessment, expert cardiovascular heart care. It's all there at Mentally Medical. Anti-aging. It's your one-stop shop men's health clinic. You walk around West Palm, you see dozens of women's health clinics. This is your one-stop shop here in West Palm, Men's Only Medical, to get things taken care of. Doc Al, my personal friend. Go see him. Tell him Riz sent you. That is North Dixie Highway, mensonlymedical.com, mensonlymedical.com.
888-760-3776. Do we like how Michael Jordan is now being implemented into NBA coverage? Is he better known as sort of that mystery godlike figure that we never hear from? We go to Keith and Boca joining us now on Russo and Rizzo. Keith, welcome in. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. What's on your mind?
Bowie.
What's up, Keith?
Well, Keith dropped.
We lost Keith.
Ah.
Keith, call back. 888-760-3776. In the meantime, we'll go to timeout here. Do a little 5 and 5. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.